are watching Game Time Decisions. I am Gabriel Morenci. Welcome to the program to put some money where his fantasies are on the Fantasy Sports Network. We want to salute all the troops on this Memorial Day. Thanks for your past services so we can sit here and yell and talk about sports. I'd say happy Victoria Day to the Canadians, but I wouldn't mean it. We've got Mike Singer from The Fantasy Sports Show. Going to step up and join us. I mean that, and I mean that I'm fired up for this. It's the biggest fantasy sports show ever in the history of Canada. And you know why? Because I'm going to be there, and Cam's going to be there. Michael Bisping's going to be there. Me and Cam Stewart among the keynote speakers. But if you're thinking fantasy sports and you only got those two jackasses, we've got real fantasy geeks and stuff and real seminars. All the biggest names in fantasy sports are going to be there. Mike Singer will tell us about The Fantasy Sports Show. My main man from Gambloo.com will join us. Lou from Gambloo.com will kick the tires on this week's UFC card. As the UFC is going to have a million fights coming up in the next couple of months. And we've got our main man, Babano, from SportsMemo.com. We'll talk about the opening numbers for the regular season win totals in the college football world. All that and more on today's Game Time Decision. Game Time Decisions on a Fantasy Sports Network continues. I am Gabriel Morenci. Let's talk some fantasy sports, and specifically a monster fantasy sports show that's taking place in Toronto, Ontario, in late August, specifically August the 25th through the 27th. It is not just a fantasy sports show. It's the fantasy sports show. And if the fact that I'm going to be there isn't enough, which I understand, and Cam's going to be there, and many other Fantasy Sports Network personalities, Michael Bisping, amongst many others, will be in attendance. We're now joined by the president, promoter, CEO of the Fantasy Sports Show. Mike Singer joins us. Mike, how you doing, man?
I'm doing great. Very happy to be here and excited. You got me all hyped up after that intro.
Yeah, not bad, huh? That's why I get the not so big bucks. But yeah, that's why I have a job at least. But all kidding aside, our paths have crossed before in the past, and of course, you were well known for the world famous international sex show that's going on, and it's fitting because I remember somebody asked me about fantasy football. About 15 years ago, and I said, my fantasy football is having sex with the cheerleaders, not picking who's going to score touchdowns. So here you and I are, like, it's 15 years later, we've arrived at this spot.
So that's it. Well, and now what we're going to do is we're going to educate people on how to win their fantasy leagues and make those fantasy dreams come true.
Yeah, so tell us about what do you have in store. So it's 25th through the 27th at the International Center in Toronto, a.k.a. Mississauga. But what can you tell us about the event?
Well, we've got three different knowledge centers where we're going to have sessions going on all day. And what they are is they've got covering things like Dynasty Baseball, Dynasty Hockey. We've got one seminar room that's just dedicated to fantasy football because we'll be leading into the fantasy season. We also have four draft rooms for everyone to draft their upcoming fantasy leagues. We've got, obviously, the halftime show stage where you and Cam will be doing, I'm sure, a lot of fun stuff. The fantasy footballers will be coming out there and doing a live broadcast.
Great guys,
they're awesome. And we've got, for some of our older guests, we've got a 19-plus sampling area, you know, to have a little more fun. We've also got a tailgate experience, so there's something for everyone down at the show.
Yeah, I like the sounds of all of this. So, yeah, it's a little bit of something for everybody, right? You can take pictures with a couple of celebrities, fighters, athletes, and then for the more serious players, there's going to be real seminars with some of the biggest names in fantasy sports, right?
Well, that's it, and that's what's great about pairing up with Fantasy Sports Network is that you guys are providing me with great talent. There's going to be some great minds down there, and if cooking's for you and you want to prepare for your Sunday feast, we've got Trevor Louis from Nagy Sack's Snack Bar and Ivana Raka from Raka Cafe coming in and teaching us all about how to cook, and we've got even some drink demos. There's plenty for everyone to do and have a great time down at the show. We even have, actually, we've got an armchair athlete combine. I'd love to see you and Cam run it.
So it's an really
some of the best athletes in the world.
I like the sounds of this. So what's the armchair combine? Tell us about this.
So basically what you saw in the NFL combine that just recently passed, we're going to recreate it, everything but the bench press, because I fear for people. We're going to do push-ups instead, but basically the 40-yard dash, the broad jump, the long jump, the high jump. And we're going to let everyone run through it and see how they compare.
I like the sounds of this. I like the fact you're not doing a bench press, because that'd be the one thing that I would suck in. I wouldn't be embarrassed. Like, you're smart. You don't want to embarrass people. I take the push-ups out, too. Just make it the running. And like, you know what I mean? Because people, yeah, you don't want to expose people. Guy's going to be doing like 4 push-ups. I'm dead, man. I'm dead. You know, like,
oh, trust me. When I start running my 40-yard dash, I'll be exposed immediately.
No, this is great.
I'm telling friends.
Yeah, this is great. Yeah, we're going to get a challenge, because me and Cam, I got into this with Cam, actually, in which Cam claims he can run a 40 faster than me.
Well, see, and this is what
he says. He's a big man, but he can run, and he thinks because Because I smoked the meat that he's like, there's no way you won't even get to 40. I'm like, I'll kill you, Cam. What are you kidding me? He actually wanted to bet me on this, too.
Oh, and we've had this. This is why I created it. There's a lot of smack talk between me and my friends about who's an athlete. None of us are athletes, but who's in worse shape than the other one.
You know, I remember I went to a baseball game years ago in Montreal, and you remember the games they had the radar pitch? So it's like,
Oh God, yeah.
They had like a fake, it was in a cage. They had a fake batter up there. You throw the ball. And I went up there, man. I threw it like, I think I got like 68 or something. All right. And it seemed fast. Like, I thought I got a good throw off, was like 68. My arm nearly fell off after. And then all these like punk snot ass kids are coming up there, 72, 74. I'm like, man, I'm slipping. But yeah, no, this combine thing sounds cool. So there really, literally and figuratively is something for everybody here that weekend.
That's it. And you know what? We want to make it as interactive as possible. We've kept the price low, so it's a family friendly event. If your kids are under 12, they're free to get in.
Nice. So how does that work? Do you buy tickets for the whole 3 days? You get it for the weekend? Like, how does it work?
We've got single day tickets available online for $12, $17.50 for a weekend pass. And actually, Friday is Women's League Draft Day. So for all women, it's half price. So it's $6 for all women to come in.
Yeah, I was going to say, somebody that used to run the sex show, and it is the fantasy sports show. There's got to be some sort of, like, you know, product type of chicks, right? I mean, I'm expecting sort of like, something, right?
That's what I'm saying. Well, listen, that's what we've got the booze area. We've got it for adults. So
that's good.
We're hoping to have something to like make it a really event. You got the daytime, which is really family friendly, and then we've got the evening. So because it goes till 10 o'clock at night.
Because I got to be honest with you, at least judging from my viewership and my fan base, the only women that are going to show up is unless like we hire them. You know what I mean?
I spoke to a lot of people. There's a lot of ladies who like you out there.
No, I know. You know what? Fantasy. Listen, football as a whole, to be honest, in fact, it's like a 50-50 split as far as the viewership is concerned.
Well, and that's
it really is. And you know, I'm not saying that women don't play. I didn't want to come across that way. And say, oh, women don't play fantasy sports at all, because I know they do, and some of them are very good at it. I was just stressing. I'm hoping that there's women at the event. That's all I was saying.
Oh, and I was just trying to pick you up.
That I wanted to meet.
Lots of lovely ladies who love you out there.
Oh, that's good. That's it. You know what I mean? You know, it's funny. It's because yesterday I was just talking with someone about the Formula One in Montreal. I said, oh, yeah, it's great. I said, the best part, there's like 3,000 different Molson girls and this type of girl. And I told them they're all in like racing outfits. Great, great times. Great times. But no, I'm fired up for this. It's going to be a great, great weekend. Michael Bisping, that's a nice get as well. UFC champion right now. And, you know, by then, he's going to be leading up into a big fight. It's, you know, I know his knee's injured right now, but setting up probably to fight GSP in the fall. So it's going to be a nice get to have Bisping there.
Yeah, you're hyping me up for it. You know, I was going to lead in with that. And it's nice to have him come in, and, you know, he'll be talking about the fight and the fact that he's going to fight a Canadian. I hope he retains the belt. Not that I don't like GSP, but, like, the fact that Bisping's coming into the show, he's made me an auto bet.
Yeah, you know what? Bisping's a good guy, actually. He likes to get out and the people and stuff like that. And you know what would be interesting, actually? We'll talk to Bisping about fantasy MMA.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And He's supposedly a huge. He's our opening keynote speaker. He's into fantasy. He's very into fantasy. And I, you know what I love about him? He's a great talker.
Oh yeah.
His clips. Oh God, yeah. I'm scared. I don't want to interview him because I know he'll. I know he'll rip on me.
Yeah, no. I've interviewed him a few times and. I've been around him after a few drinks, too. He's a scary dude, actually. Like, he's a funny guy, but, like, he's a Brit, right? So he's got that sort of look. Like, he could punch me. You know, like, it's possible.
And you know if he does hit you because he's a professional fighter, it's going to knock you clean out.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Speaking of anyone in the UFC would knock me. Like, even, like, the 115-pound chicks. Like, I'd be on my ass. Like,
We got her fantasy football that's coming in. The whole team's coming in, and they're going to be doing the keynote on Friday night. So we've got a good, varied group of talent.
You know, hopefully, Lisa Ann would be a perfect fit for this.
I know. I'm trying to avoid all of that. Remember?
Yeah. You're trying to separate. Yeah, sure. You're trying to separate it. Not.
Yeah.
She's a fantasy expert, though.
My life is all fantasy now. This is my real passion. I mean, that was getting in the way of my fantasy sports playing. It was killing me during the I needed that. It's important during those winter months. That's trade season.
Yeah, but I'll tell you what, Lisa, and it's funny because now there's a lot of adult actresses, so to speak, that are into fantasy sports and into football as a whole generally. But Lisa's really worked hard at it and, you know, become one of the more credible people on a daily basis. She's nailing out fantasy sports content and doing it in an entertaining fashion as well. But if you want to be entertained, as we promise, you're going to have a good time. You're going to come down. It's going to be something for everybody. If you're a hardcore fantasy, you know, guy, and, you know, you're better than everyone else, we're all just a bunch of schmucks, there's going to be rooms for guys like you. All right.
And you'll come down and talk shit to your friend.
Yeah, if you come, yeah, you're coming down to meet Michael Bisping and other big time athletes, then that's going to be a good time too. There's going to be a stage, going to be shows. Me and Cam are going to get up on the stage and entertain on the Saturday afternoon. I'm looking forward to it, Mike.
And you know what? If someone's forced you into an office pool and you don't know what you're doing, this is a great place to start off.
Yeah, I can't. I'm fired up. I wish football season around the corner. Actually, I'm ready to talk some fantasy football, and I look forward to this event. I'm glad that we can work in a partnership with you guys here. Mike's gonna be good to see you.
Oh, and, great to have you there.
And we'll get you in studio before the event for sure to talk about it once again. Maybe we can get Bisping on to promote the event as well. And me and Cam will see you, and we'll rock the house, man, on August the 26th.
Awesome. Thanks so much for having me on, and I can't wait to see you both down there.
Hey, always a pleasure, Mike.
Have a good one.
There's Mike Singer from The Fantasy Sports Show. All right, Game Time Decision continues. This holiday edition of Game Time Decisions continues. I am Gabriel Morenci. I appreciate the guests that aren't soft and aren't taking the day off, sitting by the pool, lazing around, not like our boy Lou from Gambloo. Money never sleeps. Lou understands that. 365 days a year, 24/7. That's why Gambloo is who he is. What's up, Lou?
Not too much, Gabriel. Yeah, we definitely put in the time. My kids are grown, and I get the time to do what I love. And, you know, I'm not burdened with having to go out and be on the date scene or have cocktails or any of that. I just sit here in Gambloo World headquarters and try and find winners.
Yeah, I'm not burdened by any date scene because women hate me. Our producer here, Reed, today, he's quite the playboy, though. Reed's quite the playboy. He's got dates every night. He's rocking. This guy's got a girlfriend. He's living large. All these people here. Going to Dairy Queen after the show and stuff. You know, I'm crunching numbers, Lou, trying to win people money. Yeah, that's what we do. So, all kidding aside, and not really, all kidding aside, UFC finally back, and it's kind of been an off and on. It hasn't been that much UFC fights. It's been a lot of, you know, circus crap that people talk about that I hate. But as far as fights are concerned, it's business is going to start to pick up now, Lou. You know, we've got Gustafsson and Teixeira coming up on Saturday. Leads us right into UFC 212 with Aldo and Holloway. UFC Fight Night 110, June 10th. Lewis versus Hunt. I tell you, for a guy that's suing a company, Hunt seems to keep on working for them a lot. UFC Fight Night 111, Holm versus Correa. June 17th, June 25th, UFC Fight Night 112. And then they take a little bit of a breather, and then they're back with UFC 213 on July the 8th. So, and then the 22nd, then the 29th. So long story short, the UFC is going to be able to pretty much fill that void until the football season, Lou.
It is, especially for a guy like me that does not, I'm not active in baseball. I don't play regular season baseball whatsoever. And so the dog days used to really be the dog days, but the UFC has saved that for me. And I love the grind of the next, you know, 90 days because we're going to get seven good cards or so. And I'm primed and ready to focus on nothing but that and preseason NFL, to be quite honest.
Yes, there's like 100 fights, UFC fights or so, give or take, right? Let's say 7, 8 cards, 12, whatever, you know, in that ballpark. And they're all pretty good ones, actually. But let's start off with the UFC card on Saturday here with Gustafsson and Teixeira as the main event in Gustafsson's backyard, Stockholm, Sweden.
Yeah, what I'm really beginning to get a good, strong, firm grasp on is how difficult it is for these young fighters, these young men and women, athletes, to cut the weight and show up feeling good and have basically all your biorhythms in groove all at the same time. And now you couple that in Teixeira's case, or in anyone's case that's not from Europe for this upcoming card. And in Teixeira's case, he's got to travel across the world. And yeah, he's going to go 10 days or 2 weeks or a week early, whatever they decide. But that's really taxing on the system. And then you couple that with the fact that Teixeira's really got a little more. They both got some wear, but Teixeira has more. He's 37 years old, and all the numbers indicate to me that Alex should be a pretty decent favorite in this fight.
You know, Teixeira is a really good fighter, and I think he's one of these guys that can beat almost anybody except the top guys. It's too bad Teixeira didn't get to the UFC a little bit earlier than he did, because he's a good guy. He's a great fighter. He really is a great fighter. But as you mentioned, you know, Gustafsson should be in his prime right now, and here he is at 30, and it's ironic that he got into that big war with John Jones, and, you know, maybe he won that fight. That fight actually was in our backyard here in Toronto. It was an epic fight. But since then, you know, he's 2-2, and he hasn't fought in that much. It's almost like, you know, him and John Jones sort of faded a little bit. But I said before Gustafsson fought John Jones, I said this years ago, and people kind of looked at me crazy. I said, Gustafsson's the black John Jones. Like, I said, they're the same. You know, tall, wiry guys, they murder you, and, you know, I want to see these two guys fight each other. Then they did fight each other, and it was one of the best fights of all time, literally and figuratively. But since that fight, you know, he's 2-2 in his last four fights, and often injured, and often complaining about money, and seems generally, you know, not overly happy his life as a UFC fighter. And it seems to be a common pattern right now, Lou. And it's funny because you use the word biorhythms. Joey Odessa's big with biorhythm. And, you know, people, boxers, they live on this stuff. And some guys won't even fight unless their biorhythms are in those months, etc. But it seems to be a common pattern with Gustafsson. So I don't know where his mind is at right now. I know he's not overly happy. He doesn't think he makes enough money. How motivated is he, you know?
Right, and those are, you know, those are reasonable questions. Meanwhile, I don't think anyone can challenge or question Teixeira's drive and his grit. But as you say, unfortunately for him, he just got to the show a little bit late. I think his skills are waning, and while he's still, you know, a top 12 fighter in the division, let's face it, the division is really thin and needs an influx of talent.
Gustafsson's minus 300 favorite right now. Pretty much consensus in most books. Five Dives, 265. Bookmaker, minus 300. Bovada, 265. All right, so let's get to Misha Serkinov and Volkan Ozdemir. I wasn't overly impressed with Ozdemir in his first fight. in which he got the decision win against OSP. I maintain that OSP got screwed in that fight. But Ozdemir is a tough guy. I'm not saying the guy sucks or anything, but my point is I don't think he won that fight against OSP. But without being stated, I am slightly surprised to see Misha Cirkunov is this big of a favorite. And I know Misha personally, and I've known Misha for a long time, actually, like 12 years, 15 years type of deal, literally. And I thought that Misha was – they brought him along so slowly, Lou. Like, for the record, he was smashing people, like, in 2010 and stuff on the regional scene, okay, in Canada. And he had the look, and I was like, man, this guy could be in the UFC now. And people close to him said, nah, he's not as ready as it appears. You know what I mean? He needs more seasoning. He's 30 years old right now. Now, he only got to the UFC 2 years ago. So they were very smart, his handlers and him, understanding what he didn't know and what he did know. And while it was a slow progression to get to the UFC, now he's in the UFC, he's skyrocketing, and the guy's 4-0 in the UFC, and he looks damn good.
He does look damn good, and quite honestly, when I first heard this fight, in my mind, I did some, you know, handicapping without doing the actual research and looking at my numbers, and I thought, well, this is going to be a really good challenge for Cirkunov because he's finally going to get in there with a guy that's going to be taller and longer than him, but the fact is that it's going to be Cirkunov that's going to have the physical advantages. He's going to be 2 inches the taller man. He's going to have the reach and legs with arms, and so that drastically changes the dynamic by which I look at this fight, because I do agree with you. Here's a case where this kid's handlers, contrary and completely opposite to the handlers of Yair Rodriguez, this kid's handlers have brought him and nurtured him along, and some would argue too slow, which I never have a problem with. But I think this guy.
Well, that's
is
the
a
thing, Lou.
Liar.
I'm looking at Misha right now. Sorry to kill you. I'm just looking at Misha, but the guy won like 9 fights in a row in like the first round. So at some point, it was like, all right, dude, it's time to move up. You know what I'm saying? But they were patient with him. But sorry to cut you off. I just wanted to point that out.
No, that's fine. I think the long and the short of it is that Ozdemir really looked, to me, he looked awkward in that last fight. What was it? Was it Brunson?
OSP.
OSP, excuse me, against OSP. But OSP's athletic, and while I thought OSP won the fight, it wasn't that Volkan was a bum. So I think that, to me, while this has number 5 next to number 7 to it, let's make no mistake about it, this is a complete display for Cirkunov, in my opinion. And I think he's a rightful favorite. I just can't see any real merit without length and reach to look at Volkan.
Some of the other fights on the card, Ben Saunders and Peter Sobota. It's a very European card. You know, it's in Sweden. You've got your Abdul Razak Alhazans and Omar Akhmedenovs of the world. Nordin Taleb comes from Quebec. They throw them in Sweden. That's a weird one. That's when you know they don't care about you. Hey, you're from Quebec. Well, we're putting you on the undercard in Sweden.
I like the international flavor. I like when they do this. I think they often try and highlight local talent. I think there's hints in there for gamblers. If you can find a local guy that's in a position to give his best against a guy that has to travel. I mean, that Sobota Saunders fight is great. Sabota's been very good to me, but he's going to be a large underdog. Or excuse me. He's going to be a large favorite in that fight.
Lou from Gamblu.com with us. We'll break down the rest of the card, and we'll give you some picks later in the week. Lou, before we get you out of here, we just had a guy on from the he's putting on a big fantasy football convention in Toronto. I'm going to be one of the guest speakers on the Saturday afternoon, and it's interesting. One of the special guests going to be there is Michael Bisping. So Bisping's going to be there. I'll probably end up interviewing him, actually. And Bisping's big into fantasy sports, and Bisping's big into getting paid to show up at appearances. So,
Now it all comes together for me.
Yeah, you know, the Bisping, Bisping does everything, right? He likes that stuff. But Bisping's going to be there. But I'm starting to get football fever a little bit. Like you said, normally there's the dog days. MMA helps fill that void. I do bet baseball, but I don't go crazy with the units or anything. But now it's June. June's around the corner, and to me, you know, you got June, July, August, and then boom, it's arrived. Now, I bet on college football as well, and we're talking about 124 line teams or so. So I got to preview 124 teams. I got to go through the 32 NFL teams, etc. Throw in the fantasy breakdown. So when the kids are getting out of school in June, not that I have any, but when they get out of school, I'm going to school, Lou. Starting June, I begin my football research and start digging in. And I don't like doing it online. I'm old school. I'm going to buy a Phil Steele magazine. I'm going to buy an old Lindsay's. I'm going to buy some old magazines and spend a couple of days kicking it old school, leafing through college football previews, Lou.
Very funny you say that because, of course, I attend the Tuesday meeting in Vegas with a bunch of area handicappers. And while I only work NFL, I do sit there while they discuss the colleges, and many of them, if not most, pull out the Phil Steele magazine because it's still kind of the Bible for those that work the colleges.
Yeah.
Again, I don't work college. I'm just an NFL guy. But I totally understand what you're saying. This summertime is very important. I'm just, in fact, my NFL season starts the day that the NFL draft is over, because at that point in time, now the teams have told you what they want to do. You can study what they have done and now begin to tweak and update the power rankings for the upcoming season.
Yeah, I did a quick rundown of the win totals, and a couple of teams caught my eye. But to really do it right, I can do it pretty fast. I've been around a long time. I know how to break stuff down pretty quickly and research stuff when I'm doing it by myself in the middle of the night. But with that being stated, like, I looked at the Patriots, and, you know, I was looking at the numbers. It took me about an hour, like, to break down the schedule properly and look at the scenarios. You really have to, like, if you're going to be betting the season win totals, but especially with college, like, you think, oh, I got time. And then the next thing you freaking know, man, there's 92 games, and you're like, oh, crap, is that old lineman still there? Did Temple lose its center? Oh, man. Then you're watching a game in the first week, and you're like, oh, Temple playing first time with a new center. Chuck, you know, it's tough, eh? It's like, you got to know this stuff. And
well, you bring up a really, really good point with futures, Gabriel, and I want, it's a great tip, and it's a common sense tip, and I'm just going to interject it. If you're going to dabble in NFL or college football futures before the first kickoff of the season, you must be playing simply the under. Because the under, the quarterback or the center getting hurt, only helps your position. If you're betting overs now in NFL or college football, I believe you hate money. That's just me.
Thanks, Lou.
Thank you.
There's Lou from Gamblu.com with us. Game Time Decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues. I am Gabriel Morenci. We welcome our main man from SportsMemo.com, Ian Cameron, a.k.a. Babano, to the fold. And we got a little edgy in the first couple of segments, so we promise no bad sexual puns or references on this segment, but I can't promise anything for Babano. Babano's the king of the bad pun. So, you know, Babano drops a pun. He's on his own on this one. What's going on, Babano?
Yeah, that's not always my forte, Morenci, but congrats to you and Cam for the Red Heat and Rage show that you've got now on Fantasy Sports Radio Network for everyone that watches and listens to Unfiltered and GTD. Definitely should tune into that, but I got to be honest, Morenci, all the years that you and Cam have spent bouncing around different television networks, different radio stations, different shows over the last decade I've known you two guys, I got to be honest and set the line for how long the show lasts at over under 6 months. I think that would just be a fair number to put that at, and we'll let people decide from there.
And you say that because of Cam Stewart's bad puns?
Yeah, Cam Stewart, and it is us. I guess ignoring the censors at times, but no, he's not going to get in there.
No, but you know what? All kidding aside, we're okay now because, it's online. Like, it's hard to offend somebody who's willingly going somewhere. But, like, yeah, if we end up on, like, AM, you know, 620 in in Salt Lake City, Utah, we're going to have a big problem. We're going to have a big problem. Like, yeah.
Of course I kid. These guys are going to last a lot longer than 6 months. It's a great show. These guys kick ass. They're entertaining as hell every single time. So you got to watch them. Check them out. They do a hell of a job every single time. It's must listen to.
Yeah, we give you. We tell you don't make a bad pun, and you got a bad joke, Babana. You got to dig yourself out of now.
Exactly. Hopefully I can give you better opinions with college football win totals than the joke scene has shown here.
Yeah. That's it. Don't hit the stand-up clubs anytime soon, but bad. Oh, it's on open mic night. But the college football win totals, and me and Lou just talked about this, about not betting the overs. And I get it. If you see a low number with an NFL team you like, you know, you've got to hope that nobody on the team gets suspended, nobody on the team hits somebody, nobody on the team take something, etc. There's a lot of stuff that can happen, but professional football is a little bit more solid than college is. College is extremely volatile, and you know, I don't care what the number is. I think anyone's crazy if they're betting these numbers. I like to look at the numbers. I like to track them, and I can live with betting a college football season win total, Babano. But I'm not pulling the trigger until like literally the week before the season starts. These kids get suspended all the time and kicked off the team all the time. Like, there'll literally be hundreds of players who get kicked off their teams in the next 2 months.
Well, there's two things, Morenci. I mean, that's definitely one thing. I mean, I usually don't like to place any of these season win total bets in college football and even the NFL until we get to July or August. I'm talking about I want to see some practices.
That's way too early for me still. Like, July, August, that's not happening. Like, that's way too early. Like, how can you bet? Let me ask you, how can you bet an NFL regular season win total before the NFL preseason? Guys get hurt every year in the NFL preseason. Tony Romo's career ended last year in the preseason. Like, every year. Like, you know what I mean? Another thing is, you learn from the preseason. And, you know, you can know, all right, this team's going to be in a lot of trouble this year because of this or because of that, or this team's a sleeper. I know, to me, that's when you learn in the preseason, Babano.
Yeah, the one exception, and I agree. I definitely like to see some preseason action. I want to see how the first string units, offensively, defensively, quarterbacks, how they all look with a lot of these teams. There's no question. That's a good way of going about it. The one exception I would make in terms of season win bet in the NFL before, you know, your preseason game takes place is if you're really worried that a strong opinion you have on a certain team just based on their off-season activity, you're worried that it's going to get away from you. You're worried the price might get away. You're worried that the win total might move a half a win or a full win either or against you, whether it's an over or under, regardless. That's the one exception. But you're right. You want to see a little bit of what these teams are going to do. In college football, you're right. You're going to get tons of suspensions. You're going to see injuries in fall practice when that takes place for all of these teams later in the summer. So you got to be tread carefully. And then you throw on top of that, you really want your money tied up in your account for as long as, you know, from May, June, all the way till January. That's a long time to tie up your money long term in some of these futures wagers. So, yeah, I'm with you in terms of waiting it out. Nice to have opinions early on here in May, Morenci, but good to wait it out before locking in.
Now, as far as the college football win totals are concerned, a lot of people will look and they'll see, oh, Michigan 9. Oh, God, Michigan's going to win 11 games this year, but they should be warned. It's regular season only, Babano, right? Like, it's not. So the conference championship game doesn't count as a win for you. A bowl game doesn't count as a win for you. It's regular season only. And I think a lot of people get caught up in that sometimes and don't realize that. They realize it when they see the fine print when they're betting it. But when people sort of look at these opening numbers, I don't think they realize regular season only. That's the catch here.
Yeah, definitely. And for Michigan, that your beloved team, Morenci, the thing that stands out to me right away is the depletion at the defensive side of the football that this team is really going to have to replace. I mean,
three first rounders. Was Lewis a first? Yeah, he was. Hey, Lewis, was Jordan Lewis or was that? No. Sorry. It's not. It was three first rounders still. Wait, Taco Charlton, Julius Jabril Peppers.
There was a third one. I'm trying to think of the name, but there's basically one returning starter for Michigan from last year on the defensive side of the football coming back this year. So that's going to be, you know, something that they're going to have to overcome. There's no question about that. The offense should probably take a step forward, I would think, this year for Michigan. But, yeah, I mean, with all of these teams, early on you're looking at stuff like returning starters. You're really trying to get a grasp right now, at least I am, in terms of college football. Spring practices just recently concluded. Just want to get some sort of, you know, beat writer reports, find out, you know, was a quarterback looking good or bad? Was an offense looking good or bad? Was a particular unit on the team not performing well or performing well? Just little tidbits that you can find on some of these spring practice reports in terms of just how sharp and crisp the team looked. Just little things that you can file away for when it gets closer to the season.
It's funny you bring up the Michigan Wolverines. So the Michigan Wolverines, their win total, it's pissing me off. I want to see when Jordan Lewis was drafted. It wasn't a first round. So it was Peppers and, Lewis the third. But what was the first round? When you look at the first round, Taco Charlton, he was the first Michigan guy to go, right? So it was two first round picks. Sorry, but yeah, Michigan had 13 guys drafted. But anyways, you're right. They lost a ton and a lot of good talent. Just alone, Jordan Lewis, cornerback, Babano. Jabril Peppers, you know, played Rover, everything, stud guy. Taco Charlton, their best pass rusher. As you mentioned, Wilton, they got a veteran quarterback. The offense is stacked. And one thing that's different, Babano, now, as you know, in college football, we can't overreact to freshmen playing. In the old days, it was a big deal. In the new days, it's not a big deal. You know what I mean? In the new days, freshmen are your stars. Like, so it's sort of a different era. But I'm looking at Michigan here, and their schedule's 9. They open up against a good Florida Gator team, neutral field in Texas. They play against the Cincinnati Bearcats. They get that game in Ann Arbor. They get to Air Force, Purdue. They host Michigan State. They got to go to Penn State. They host Ohio State, and they got to go to Wisconsin. It's a manageable schedule for the Michigan Wolverines, but it's going to be a challenge. It's not going to be easy for them.
No, it won't. I mean, I look at a 3-game swatch coming off their bye week. Morency, after that September 30 bye week, you've got Michigan State at home, at Indiana, at Penn State. Penn State's going to be pretty good this season.
Yeah.
So that's 3-game swatch for Michigan. To me, Morency, is going to go a long way to determining up and over or under their season win total. I mean, that's a tough 3-game stretch. That's the one where optimistically you hope they go 2-1 or better. And that's probably what they're going to need to do to get up and over. That's going to be key for them, no question about it.
They're going to get there, Babano. I'm looking right now, Michigan, Florida. Who do you got right now? Who do you think would win that game? Just top of your head. Like, you know, we're not going to hold you. I think Michigan beats them.
Yeah, I'd have to leave.
Michigan smoked them in a bowl game 2 years ago. Michigan's going to beat them. Then they host Cincinnati. That's 2-0. They host Air Force, 3-0. At Purdue, 4-0. Host Michigan State, 5-0. At Indiana, 6-0. So my personal belief is Michigan goes in up there to Happy Valley with a 6-0 record against Penn State. So I'm not a homer. Let's say they lose. 6-1. Beat Rutgers, 7-1. Beat Minnesota in Ann Arbor, 8-1. Then you get to at Maryland, at Wisconsin, host Ohio State. So, yeah, it could come down to the wire with this, but I really don't see why Michigan doesn't go into the Wisconsin game with an 8-1 record.
That, you know what, the team from aside from win totals, the team in the Big Ten that I'm going to be looking to bet on right from the beginning, because he did such a great job turning around Western Michigan right away, is
Purdue.
PJ Fleck and Minnesota.
Okay.
Now that PJ Fleck is there, I mean.
Oh, Western Michigan. I was thinking Western Kentucky. I jumped the gun because, Brohm's over from Western Kentucky, and I expect him to turn Purdue around too, Babano.
Oh, they're going to be an all offense, no defense team. Brohm's bringing in that pass happy, up tempo offense that he brings with him from Western Kentucky. Made Brandon Doughty one hell of a quarterback. Now he's going to have to find that quarterback at Purdue, but that system, Purdue is going to be a dead nuts over the total team, I think, this season in college football, just from a game by game perspective.
But you like the Gophers too, huh?
Sorry, what was that?
And you like the Gophers too, huh? So you're saying you like the Gophers this year with Fleck there? We've seen, Babano, a lot of these big-time coaches from small colleges go to these schools, and they suck, right? I'm not saying he will, but is anyone turning Minnesota around, or is Minnesota? Haven't they been down this road before?
I think from a point spread perspective, they're going to have a good year. Straight up win, that remains to be seen. But I remember first year of Western Michigan, P.J. Fleck automatically made inroads and made that program, made that team better. Now you're going to give him that opportunity. You know, in terms of just in-game, just connecting with the players, and in terms of just that coaching adjustments that you can do as a head coach to impact a game, make your team better, he's a huge upgrade from Tracy Claes. There were times I'd be watching Minnesota play, Claes on the sideline not doing a very good job of just, you know, going with the game, going with the flow, you know, adjusting on the fly, making quick decisions, going with different things to try to get the team going. Just poor in that regard. And that's pretty much the opposite when you get a guy like P.J. Fleck coming in there. Just from a coaching acumen perspective, I think it's going to be a huge upgrade, Morency, for the Gophers with Fleck. Point spread-wise, I think they'll be bet on. Straight-up win-wise, it's going to take time. I mean, it is, but I think they're going to be one of those fly-under-the-radar teams, cash some tickets, even if they don't necessarily win every single week.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. A team, and there's no win total for this team right now. Maybe there will be a PAR request at some places, but I don't see one right now for the Wyoming Cowboys. And, you know, you talked to Babano about Michigan losing all but one starter on the defensive side of the football. No team played more underclassmen last year than Wyoming. And you want to talk about a coach, you know, you got the guy from North Dakota State there now, right? So everything's starting to come together for them, and they've got potentially the number one pick in the NFL draft with Josh Allen. I think the Josh Allen hype will pick up mainstream-wise, but I think Wyoming can fly under the radar for the first portion of the season. They open up against the Iowa Hawkeyes, and North Dakota State's knocked Iowa off before. You know, so this is another team to keep our eye on. Like I said, there's no regular season win total right now, but Wyoming are going to be a nice play-on team this year, especially if we're getting points at Iowa.
You know, in the Mountain West, Wyoming, Colorado State, and dare I say it, UNLV, all could be a little bit of a sleeper, a little bit of a dark horse in terms of improved teams in that conference. And people are going to look at me and say, UNLV, are you crazy? But I really think Tony Sanchez is gradually putting positive footprints on that program there at UNLV. I think they're going to be an improved team. Colorado State, I like their quarterback too. Nick Stevens, very good. But Josh Allen, it goes without saying. And I think they're going to take advantage of the fact that San Diego State and Boise State may be a bit down going into next season, Morency. So that Mountain West, that could be a free-for-all. That could be one of those conferences where it could be wide open, and there are a couple of teams that could be live to win it.
Yeah, it's interesting with UNLV. I mean, obviously, they still have a ways to go. I'm a fan of Sanchez, comes over from Bishop Gorman. He's been unable to get the pipeline from Bishop Gorman, you know, into a Rebels uniform. And I think they're a little disappointed that that was one of the reasons. Like, oh, we got all these guys, the same coach, we'll just sort of turn them into college players now. Except these college kids, the Bishop Gorman kids aren't stupid. You know what I mean? They're like, no, I'm going to Oklahoma. I'm going to Arizona, and I'm going to UCLA. I'm not staying here. But you're right. The level of talent of UNLV gradually increases every year. He keeps getting just a little bit better players. You know what I mean? I mean, years ago, UNLV were a real undersized team. We can go back years when they were actually not bad and Randall Cunningham was there, etc. And they had a decent team with Omar Clayton. Of course, John Robinson was the coach. But for the most part, they're a glorified high school team. But you're right. The size is starting to get a little bit better and bigger for them. I think UNLV is a bowl team this year.
Yeah, and going to be very good offensively. 9 returning starters, the quarterback returning as well. They did recruit much better this past season for their standards. I mean, it was better. Was it great? No, but it was a lot better than it's been the last few years. And
it'll get better for them, Babano, when the Raiders get there, because they're going to be playing in that stadium.
Oh, that's definitely made a bit of an impact. There's no question. People know NFL football coming to Las Vegas now. The Raiders on their way in the next 4 or 5 years. And that's going to make an impact in terms of UNLV recruiting. Now, the Sam Boyd Stadium facilities, everybody that we know in Vegas has talked about it. Gabe Malinsky, Teddy, go on down the list. I mean, it's just terrible.
Well, it's built on a garbage dump. It's literally, that's like, it's in the middle of nowhere, right? One thing, though, Malinsky's brought this up. It is going to be better because Sam Boyd is so bad that it's like high school type standards. So, and it's in the middle of nowhere. So they're going to be in a state-of-the-art facility. They're going to be playing where the Raiders play in Las Vegas Stadium. near Mandalay. But with that being stated, they're not going to get those massive crowds. So it's sort of going to be a bad atmosphere in there. Man, like we've seen this, like, you know, like San Diego State playing in the empty stadium, even 30,000 in that big stadium, and they're making it smaller there. So we've only got 1 minute right now, Babano, but in 1 minute time, what was one college football team when you looked at these numbers that you said, you know what, I might bet that?
Well, right off the hop, there's, you know, I'll say one thing about Ohio State quickly. It's a team, I don't know if I'm going to bet them.
Remember,
over.
1 minute, Babano.
Yeah. Yeah, Ohio State looking really, really crisp, apparently, offensively in their spring practice. Kevin Wilson, the former Indiana Hoosier head coach, is now the offensive coordinator. They want to throw the football around the field. I mean, this is an offense that had problems in the offensive line protecting the quarterback. JT Barrett was repeatedly hit time and time again. He's looked sharp. He's looked crisp in this new Kevin Wilson-led offense. It's going to be up-tempo. It's going to throw the football a bit more. They were trying to throw the ball deep quite a bit. Ohio State may be a good team again this year, maybe worth over their season win total and over the total in their games as well. They're looking to open up the playbook this year. They could be a fun team to watch.
You know, quickly on the way out here, a team that catches my eye here. I'm looking at 9 right now. I want to dig a little bit deeper, but Oklahoma State. I think Oklahoma State's going to be a dangerous team this year. I think Oklahoma State's going to be a dangerous team. And I got to dig in and take a look at Auburn's schedule. But I tell you what, Babano, now with Jared Stidham over there from Baylor, Auburn's going to be a completely different breed now. Auburn haven't had a quarterback since Cam Newton was there. They have a quarterback now. Watch out. Auburn over under 8. Babano, great stuff here. Class act. We encourage people to support Babano. You're not going to find a nicer capper, a more honest guy in the business. He works around the clock. You can get his picks over at sportsmemo.com. Thanks for the time, Babano.
Good call, Morency. Never undersell Mike Gundy. That guy gets it done. Have a good one. Have a good one.
Yeah, there's two early season leans right now. We'll start digging in. But don't forget, Mason Rudolph is back at quarterback. They're a loaded team. The Big 12 is not a great conference. Oklahoma State's going to be in the picture. I see them winning double-digit games. And like I said, I think the Auburn Tigers are going to get back on track as well. Game time decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues. We don't have any plays of the day right now because we had to tape this show in advance because everyone was too soft to work on a holiday. But for my plays of the day, because I'm not soft and I will be gambling today, follow me on Twitter, twitter.com/sportsrage. And if you don't already know that, then don't follow me. Other than that, you're on your own. May the winners be yours.